Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And well, that's something all of us need to learn to do more often, is that's to humble ourselves before God. And that's what that message is all about, humbling yourself before the Lord. Matthew chapter 3, as we'll continue our study on the life of John the Baptist. And it's been a blessing. I know I've been blessed by preparing to teach and to preach on the life of John the Baptist. There's much more there than what I think that I even realized going into it, and I trust that you have received much as well. First of all, we started looking at what Jesus said about John the Baptist. That was probably the most important, is what Jesus revealed about John the Baptist. And he's given us insight into the life of John to start with, telling us that he was more, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. There was none greater than John the Baptist. And so that puts him up there. I mean, it helps us to understand that this is an example, a biblical character that the Lord wants us to look and study after and learn from. And so we looked at all that Jesus said about John the Baptist. And then we looked at where his ministry began. And it began with his parents. And the Bible has much to say about the parents of John the Baptist, as God chose to give to them this life to raise for him. And what a blessing it is for every parent to realize God chooses to give us our children. And he chose to give you your children to raise for him. And so there was so much there that we looked at. And then finally, we got into his birth. And there was much there about the birth and the growth of John the Baptist, even though there's not much said about only one verse in the Bible that tells us about the infancy, from infancy until his time of public ministry. But there was a powerful message. There was much in there concerning his spiritual growth and his physical growth as well. And so it's just a blessing we got through that and studied that. And then we come back to here to Matthew chapter 3. And we studied that the John's title was the prophet of the highest. And Luke in chapter 1, it revealed that his title would be the prophet of the highest. That means that he would represent God. He would represent Jesus Christ, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that. But he would represent him. No higher calling than to represent Christ, to point people to Jesus Christ. Because his task would be, the Bible says, to give knowledge of salvation. That means he was there to point people to the Savior. And as we study that, we find that it's same for us today. What John did in the forerunner of Jesus Christ is what every born-again believer during this New Testament church age is to do. John pointed them to Christ, the coming of Christ. We are to point people back to the gospel, which is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And pointing to him to salvation, pointing to him as God, who was manifested in the flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, we studied the last message in chapter 3 here, and realizing that the kingdom of heaven, John comes preaching the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. That means heaven came to earth. God, Jesus Christ, God, brought heaven to earth to give us a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven, or what God expects out of humanity living in the flesh. Jesus is here. And it says, "You prepare ye the way." John was to prepare the way and make his path straight. John was to just go and to preach God's word and live by biblical conviction. And that's what we got out of the last message. I trust that that's what you remember. You might have some notes about that. But the idea there is we need to live by biblical conviction. And everything we do ought to be based upon biblical conviction as a Christian, as a born-again believer. You know, the way I run our home, the way that we raise our children, the way that we handle our finances, the way that we live our lives, we ought to have convictions. And our convictions ought to stem from the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we saw that. We studied that. Well, tonight we're going to continue with this. Matthew chapter 3, stand with me. We actually taught on verses 1 through 3. We're going to read down to verse 6 tonight. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. What I want you to see here tonight, verse 5, it says, then went out to him. Then went out to him in the wilderness. He's preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and the multitudes went out to him. Great thought. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you and thank you for every opportunity once again that you've revealed to us and opened up to us. And thank you for those that are here that took advantage of the opportunity to be in church tonight. And I pray that you'd bless them because of that. And I pray, God, that you'd meet with us and reveal the things that each one of us have need to have revealed to us. Speak to us as we have need to be spoken to. Pray that you would use me once again to present your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So here now John is coming and he is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is telling them that the Savior is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is preparing the way by preaching the gospel, preaching exactly what the Bible had, God had for him to preach. And it was the very same things that we'll find that Jesus would come preaching. And John was making his path straight. He was preaching Bible, biblical conviction based on what people needed. And they needed repentance. They needed to change their mind concerning the thinking that they had concerning God, concerning life, concerning religion, everything. They needed to repent of that and get back to their mindset of looking to God and having their hearts and minds filled with the knowledge of God and His will. Well, we find in verse 5, as he was there in the wilderness preaching, that the Bible says that then went out to him. The people went to hear John. Now, John did his preaching out in the wilderness. He didn't have a nice, comfortable auditorium like we have here tonight. He didn't even go to the temple. We don't find John ever one time going into the temple to preach. We don't find John going to the synagogues to preach. Now, Jesus would come afterwards and Jesus would go to the temple and Jesus would go to the synagogues. John the Baptist, when he came, he did not come to go to the worship centers. He called people out of those worship centers because they were not truly worshiping God. And instead of going into the temple, and he reserved that for Jesus to take care of that, evidently. But we find here that the main thing, that John was just out in the wilderness, and John was out preaching in the wilderness. And as John was preaching in the wilderness, open air meetings. I don't know if they had tents back then or not. Jesus was a tent maker, so they probably did. I don't know if they did for their services. I think it was open air meetings. And the people went out to him. Now, why? The first thing I wonder, Jesus went to the temple and he went to the synagogues. Possibly the way John was dressed, he wouldn't have gotten an invitation to go to the temple. He did not come to go into what man had already organized and what religion had become. I mean, the Jews, over the 400 silent years, they had all these different philosophies of ministry enter in. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the different ones had their own way of thinking, and they had actually just been using the Old Testament to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. They were not preaching the truth. They were not living as God would have them to live. And so during this time, before Jesus came, John was to come and to make their ways pass straight, to help them to understand what the Bible taught concerning Old Testament and how that it was leading into the coming of the Messiah. And John was revealing to them what the Bible had taught, and he was preaching, this is what the prophets, this is what Moses taught, this is what the prophets prophesied, and It has come to pass. It is here. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ, is here. The Messiah has come. And so he was out in the wilderness and he was preaching this message. Why didn't he come into the cities where the crowd would be? You think about it, you go to the place where in today you're looking to preach to a crowd, you go where the people are. He didn't come into the cities. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the synagogues. So why would God have him stay out in the wilderness? Now, I love this because as I looking at it and studying, I was reading all the different commentaries, looking at and studying myself, and just there's no doubt that as I look to this, the reason would be possibly to help every pastor, every church planner, every New Testament Christian to understand some things, to realize that God can grow the church. Every true biblical church needs to realize it's God's church. All I need to do is my part. As a preacher, all I can do really is my part. Now, some try to go beyond their part and try to do the part of the Holy Spirit of God and try to do the part of everything else and everyone else. And yet, I think when it comes to the church, realize it's His church, it's God's church. And I got to realize just what part God has given to me, and I must be faithful to do my part. And that is every pastor, every deacon, every church officer, every church member, whoever it might be, is just understanding that it's God's church. Am I doing my part in growing the church and in establishing what God wants us to establish in a biblical New Testament church? John was coming, and this would be the ushering in of the New Testament church. Jesus would establish a New Testament church. This was ushering in the New Testament. It was coming out of the Old Testament law and presenting the truths that God would have for this new and living way. This new covenant that God would have with His people. With the fulfillment of Scriptures and the person of Jesus Christ. Not that they disagree. The Old Testament, they do not disagree. They fit together. But it was the first covenant, the first testament that pointed to the second covenant, the second testament coming, the Christ coming. And with Jesus coming, He would reveal the full revelation of God's Word to humanity. And we have that. We've had it for some 2,000 years. It's been some 2,000 years that we've been into this New Testament church age. It's been some 2,000 years since we find that John came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus is here, and He's going to establish exactly what God has for this New Testament church age. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. It is revealed to the church in the New Testament. So understanding these things, then we look at John the Baptist. Now, I love what it says in verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, we preached on this before, earlier on, when we seen that this is how God sent him, this is how he came. And we know that mainly, I think, that he came this way to reveal to us that he had a disciplined life. It takes disciplined life to have, indeed, only what is necessary to have a strong, healthy body. And not to abuse the body with what we eat. It takes a disciplined life to wear a certain type of garment. Amen. To just that would represent who he was. He was just an Old Testament prophet ushering in the New Testament church age. I believe what he had on would represent to those at that day that he was a prophet of God. Took discipline. And so we already studied that, but what I like to, in looking at verse 5 and see that they went out to him, we also notice here, because of his diet and because of his appearance, John did not attempt to identify with man by presenting himself according to their expectations. Now, John knew that he was coming to be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would understand that he was coming to point people to Jesus, who would establish a New Testament church, who would establish a different way to live, who would establish Christianity, Christ-likeness. And so as we look today, as we look to establish New Testament churches and to maintain the church of Jesus Christ, we have to get rid of this idea that we have to be and meet the expectations of the lost. You hear it today that you can't build a church today on just preaching. You can't build a church today without compromising with standards and separations and dress and worldliness. People won't accept that. People won't come to that. Find a lot of churches changing because of that. A lot of churches want to change their music because that's the expectations of the world. They want this kind of music. They want entertainment. They'll drop all their dress standards because that's what the world does not want to be told how to dress and how to, they don't want to be told, be convicted of anything that they want to do. And today, where you just stop when you start compromising the convictions of the Bible to please man, where do you stop? Look where we're going today. Now we're getting rid of the traditional marriage and looking to, well, it's really whatever suits you. And even if you don't believe in the sin of homosexuality, we're not preach against that. Matter of fact, we're even going to ordain some of our pastors that claim to be homosexual into the ministry. Wow. Because that's the expectations of the world, because the world says this. And the world says, now, today, in this 21st century, it's a different life. It's a different standards, different time, different age. You can't hold on to those old-fashioned convictions. If it's conviction, it never changes. Because the Bible hadn't changed. Hadn't changed in 2,000 years. New Testament has not changed. Not going to add to take it away from it, because what was established by the Lord Jesus Christ for this New Testament church age. If my conviction is based on the Word of God, it's not going to change. So John did not attempt to identify with man by presenting himself according to their expectations. It was quite the opposite. John was different. He was different. I mean, look at it. This reveals a disciplined life, no doubt. He had a raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. That's different. But see, John came not to impress man. John was more concerned about pleasing God than pleasing man. And the church today, I wonder, is that what we're mostly concerned about? Are we more concerned about pleasing God, or are we more concerned about pleasing man? Are we more concerned about preaching and teaching God's word, or are we more concerned about holding on to whatever kind of congregation we might have, not wanting to offend anyone and not wanting anyone to leave? And so we'll change to accommodate everyone that's in the services. Now, don't get me wrong. I feel like that as a pastor, I'm going to give an account for how I counsel, how I preach, and how I pastor everyone that comes through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And as a pastor, I never want to lose anybody. Matter of fact, I can't see, if you're wanting a biblical ministry, I can't see why anybody would not want to be a part of this local New Testament church right here. I can't understand how anybody would want to leave just because you got into an argument with another church member. Or just because somebody hurt your feelings. Or there's just not enough activity. Just not enough entertainment. I don't understand that. I don't understand why anybody would leave a biblical ministry, a biblical church, because of these things. And I think that I've got Bible to base that on. I don't think that is a reason that people ought to come to the church. That's not what we need to use to draw people into the ministry of this church. John was more concerned about pleasing God than pleasing men. That means that in order to please God, he had to live a separated life. He was not going to look to see, all right, what kind of dress should I wear to impress those people in Jerusalem and Judea? Because when they come, I want to make sure that I've got exactly what they're looking for in the type of dress they think a preacher ought to be dressed like. He did not want to make sure, now when they come, we're going to have a pitch in here, and we got to make sure that we have the exact food that everyone's going to look forward to when they come. If it was, it would not have been locusts and wild honey. John realized he came to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to preach the message that God had him there to preach. And he knew that in order to do that, he had to live a separated, dedicated life to God. I think that's what the Bible teaches. Separation from the world. John realized that he needed to be different, which in the Bible terms would be peculiar. We are, as God's people, we are to be peculiar. Peculiar is not weird. Peculiar just means different. If you're just like the world, there's nothing different about us. If we have the same kind of music that they hear in the world, there's nothing peculiar about it. If they have the very same kind of philosophies in the church that they do in the world, there's nothing peculiar about it. John did not come trying to meet the expectations of the world. John came because he knew that he had a message to preach that God had given to him, and it's a message that the people needed, and he came separated. He came a little different. And most importantly of all, he came to live a holy life, preaching holiness. You don't hear much about holy living today. That's how he came. And what happened? They came to hear him. Now you say, well, it's not unusual that somebody would come like that, you know, and just try to preach something that is different from the world and try to live a way that is different from the world and live a holy, separated, consecrated life to God. There's not really, we know of some of those fanatics today, but they came to hear him. He says in verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. All. Now, that was a term used to describe a great multitude of people. That means there was a great multitude of people. There was just not just a handful. The Bible records all. That means a great multitude. The majority of the people went out to him. They went voluntarily. Can I tell you, that's how God works? That's how he's always worked? If you're saved tonight, it's because you wanted it. Because you desired it. Not because he forced you. Not because you didn't have a choice. The advertisement was that he was preaching the word. In verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he was preaching. And as he was preaching, the word got out. The advertisement for us to go to hear John is, he's preaching the word. Now, we have to understand this is an example for us as a New Testament church. This is what Jesus used to be able to usher in him coming and establishing his church. He used John the Baptist. And John did not come trying to meet expectations of the world. He came as a representation of God. There was not a magic show to draw everybody to the wilderness. There was not a concert. Neither was there a free meal. Now, I'm not against having certain things. Sunday school campaigns. We're getting ready to have a Sunday school campaign. I'm not against music. Praise the Lord. We want to have godly, Christ-honoring music here. We want to do all. But that's not what drew them to John the Baptist. It's not what drew the multitudes out to the wilderness to hear John. As a church, we must still focus on God's will and understand it's God who grows his church. Now, I believe that we, in obeying the Great Commission, we ought to go. And God would have us to go and invite, not to force, but to invite. God would have us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel even to do whatever we can to get in, not deceptively, not say, hey, you ought to come to our church because you're going to hear a concert. You're going to come to our church because we're going to entertain you. We're going to come to our church. We got a free meal for you. That's not how we need to advertise to get people to come to the church. We need to help people to understand, if you believe what the Bible teaches, attend a church that teaches the Bible. Amen. If you come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, you're going to hear a biblical message. If you come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, you're going to listen to Christ-honoring music. If you come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, you're going to find a people who have a love and a concern for the lost because of the love and concern that God has for humanity. I believe that's how God's established it. And as we do our part, then God pricks their hearts. But even with God pricking their heart, they have to make the decision. Same today. Outside of children and those living under our roofs, it's a free will decision to come to church. Do you understand that now? Outside of children. Children don't have a choice. Amen. You're to raise them. They don't know what's best for them. Raise them. As a parent, you understand what they have need of. They need God in their lives. If you instill that within them, you've been given them the most important thing that they will take with them for the rest of their lives. There is a God in heaven, and I can call upon him, and he will take care of me. No matter what I go through, no matter what I have to face, if I have a right relationship with God, I can find the peace that passeth all understanding. I can find the help of an almighty God who's able to do all things. If you instill that within your child, you have given them the most important thing that you can instill within them. Children should not have a choice. Neither anyone that's living under your roof. Amen? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you're going to live here, you're going to serve the Lord. If you're going to live here, you're not going to bring anything that's going to be Christ dishonoring Christ into our home. If you're going to live here, you're going to live in a way that brings God's blessings upon your life, because your life is in our home. Don't let somebody move into your house and live any old way they want to live. If they're going to move into your house, you better make sure that they understand, for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. No matter how old they are. Amen. Outside of that, it's a choice of the free will of man. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth, they have to believe. They can't ride your coattails. Children can't get saved by their parents being saved. At some point, they have to make a conscious decision for their own selves. I want Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. We want to give them the best chance to do that. Amen. We can't do it for them. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever. It means anybody can do it, but they have to do it. They have to confess with their own mouths. It's God's plan. If you're going to worship the Lord, it's God's plan for you to voluntarily worship Him. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be that you voluntarily trust Him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Matter of fact, look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We're getting here in just a few weeks on our Wednesday Sunday night services as we're studying the book of Revelations. But Revelation chapter 22, look at one of the last messages of the Bible. Verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Holy Spirit of God is going to draw you. The bride, the church, is going to try to do everything it can to cause people to come to know Christ as Savior. And let him that heareth say, come. Those that know, they hear the truth, and they ought to be encouraging others to know the truth. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Everyone ought to be out there saying, come. Everyone ought to be out there doing your part to get people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everyone ought to be out to be doing their part going out there to help people to come into the church. But the Bible says, and then once we do that, whosoever will, let them take of the water of life. It's a free gift. But you have to will to take it. God pricks their heart. But they made the decision to go out into the wilderness to hear this separated, dedicated, leather-lunged preacher preaching repentance. It's a free will. But God knows what opportunities that He has provided. And each one will give an account for the opportunities that God provided for us. They had the opportunity. The Spirit of God convicted, pricked their heart. And they went. Yeah. Back with me. Look back in Matthew chapter 3. They went. And then the Bible says in verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. As they went voluntarily because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God was growing the church. God was the one. John was just there to do his part. And he says, I can only do what I can do, but I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can do. And as long as we're doing what we can do, God will do the rest. Amen. This Lighthouse Baptist Church, coming up on our 29th anniversary. I've made mistakes over the last 29 years. I've done things I probably shouldn't have done, and on and on. I'm not a perfect pastor. I understand that. We're not a perfect congregation. I understand that. And during those 29 years, we've had people come and we've had people leave. I never want to see anyone leave. I would just soon everyone would love this church and love the Lord and want to stay here and go to heaven. Amen. Go to be raptured up together. Amen. But I can't do what I can't do. I learned as a pastor, you can't force people to stay. And the more you try to force people to stay, the more damage they'll do to the church. And so I've learned, and this is something that's hard to accept, but it is just a matter of fact, there's going to be people coming and there's going to be people going. Never want to do anything to offend people, to run people off. That's you ask any staff member, you'll hear them say what I tell them often. You don't help people by running them off. Let's look to help people. The church is here to help. But we're not going to change our convictions to keep anybody. And we're not going to change our convictions to get anybody to come. We're going to try to remain what God has established us here to represent. We're going to continue to preach the word. We're going to continue to have godly, Christ-honoring music. We're going to continue to live by standards. We're going to have separation. Whether people come or whether people go, I can't control that. I'll do anything and everything I can to help people to stay, except for compromising convictions. Yeah. The Bible says that, and we're baptized of him in Jordan. God sent John with a message that all needed to hear. I believe that God controls who's here every Sunday. I believe God's the one that controls who's here on Wednesday night. I can't control that. I can make sure I'm here. Amen. I can make sure my home is here. But outside of that, now I have expectations. If my staff want to remain on staff, they're going to be here. And they're going to control their home. Because they're paid. If a deacon's going to continue to be a deacon. If an officer's going to continue to be an officer. We have certain qualifications for those who have agreed to work to represent certain positions in the church. But outside of that, it's voluntary. Getting involved in serving, voluntary. Tithing, voluntary. Giving the missions, voluntary. I can't control that. It's God's church. God pricks your heart. God's the one that tells you it's time to be in church. It's Wednesday night. It's time to be in church. It's Sunday school time, Sunday morning. It's time to be in church. It's worship service. It's time to be in church. It's Sunday night services. That God has established a church, and it's God who continues to send people to the church. It's God who continues to prick their hearts to be faithful to the church. It's God who does that which I cannot do. But what I can do is to make sure that I have spent the time with the Lord to make sure that I have the message that God has for me to preach. Whether it's Wednesday night, all Wednesday, all day on Wednesday, I do nothing but focus on Wednesday night service. Nothing else. That's what I do. Every other day, I'm focusing on what God has for Sunday. Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, and Sunday evening. I have three other messages on my mind all the time. There's not a time when there's not preparation for messages on my mind. Not a time. That's a pastor. That's my call. That's what God does. I'm always praying and asking God for direction. I'm always seeking God. I'm always studying the Word of God. I feel like that I live inside those four walls of my office. I spend more time there and just focusing on messages and praying and all the different things that I do. That's my call. That's what I can do. But I don't know who's going to be here to hear it. I know that everyone would benefit from it. Because I know it's God's message. It's always going to be God's message. God sent John with a message that all needed to hear. Those that heard it, listen to me, those that heard it were privileged. Because it was God's message. And it was God's message to the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The whole world needed to hear that message. But those in that region, that small region where he had planted John, where Jesus would be born and spend the most part of his life, were privileged. Later on, the whole world would hear it, and it would be scattered throughout the whole world. But at that time, it was limited. And those that were there, knowing it was from God, should have seen it as a privilege to be able to hear from God. Wow. Can I tell you that the message that I preach, I believe, same message as John preached, same message as Jesus preached, because it's a Bible. And we have opportunity to be under the preaching of the Word of God. We ought to come to this place understanding, I'm not coming to hear a man. I'm coming to hear a message from God. And it's a privilege for God to speak to me. It'll change the way that you view church. When you view it the way that it's supposed to be viewed. They listened as a message from God. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Because they opened up to let the Spirit of God convict their hearts, reveal to them the truth of the Word and the ways of God. They listened, and after they listened, they responded. As a church, we must strive to remain the same. The same messages that John preached, Jesus preached, the apostles preached, the disciples preached. It was the Bible. For some 2,000 years, every true servant of God has preached his word. Amen. And we're to continue to preach his word. Amen. As long as he leaves us here. The true church needs to strive to remain the same. Now, we're going to have changes in possible some music. But we're not going to change the philosophy of music. We're not going to change to place where it's not Christ-honoring music. There's some contemporary songs out there, contemporary being new. There's people that are writing some great songs today that we and Jeremiah has to look at and has to go over to make sure that they have a right message and make sure that they are something that we can use here to honor. It might be a new song when you come in. Praise the Lord for it. Nothing wrong with that. But we're not going to change and compromise our music to reach the world. Dress has changed throughout all the year, throughout years, from generation to generation. What was a man's dress and what was a woman's dress and has changed down to, but listen to me, the biblical principles of dress have not changed. A man needs to look like a man. If there's any question about whether that looks like a girl or not, don't wear it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If God created you a man, then you need to glorify God as a man. Don't try to look like a woman. And the very same thing is true when it comes to a lady. If God created you a lady, look like a woman. Don't try to look like a man. If what you are wearing makes you look more like a man than like a woman, don't wear it. That's what we preach. That's Bible. To what degree of separation and dress? We're going to leave that basically up to you. But we have a standard that we ask you to respect as far as the church is concerned. As the church is concerned, we're going to hold our standards up high so that I can tell you what doesn't look like a man. Amen. I can tell you what kind of dress that does not make a woman look like a man. And I can tell you what kind of dress that does not make a man look like a woman. I can tell you that. There's no men that should come to this church dressed in a dress. How far you go with that, I can't control. But what I can control is what we're going to establish as a standard of dress for our people, for our activities, for our platform. You know, I can't even go to certain golf courses dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. And no one has a problem with that. And yet you have the church say, we prefer you to wear this just to honor and respect the words of God and to honor and respect the idea that God does care what you associate yourself with. And everybody gets upset over dress. We're not, it's voluntary. We're not dictating what, but we do say as a church, we want to keep our standards up here. Would you just respect that? There's a reason we do that. I look in our society today, you can see right now why there was a warning that a man should not wear the apparel of a lady, a woman. And the woman should not wear the apparel of a man. Because look at where we're at today. Yeah. Who would have thought it? God knew it. Let's just respect that. It's voluntary. Let's respect that. As a church, we must strive to remain the same. Whether people come or people go, God will grow His church. What's more important is to make sure we maintain His church. Praise the Lord for the example of John the Baptist. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. They went out to him. What led them to go out to hear a man clothed in raiments of camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey? Spirit of God. Spirit of God pricking their hearts and leading them to a place where they could hear from God. And they could truly worship Him. And they could truly have an opportunity to be convicted so that they could repent and start living a life that God can bless. Praise the Lord for it. Let's maintain that very same kind of ministry. We're not going to have a public invitation right now. A music invitation, there's always a public invitation. A time to respond to whatever God's spoken to you about. If you have need to come to the altar, the altar's open, you can come. You just need to make a mental note of something that God's spoken to you about and do it right now. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for this study on John the Baptist and how that we can see these biblical principles given to us and John pointing to Jesus. That even today, as a New Testament church, pointing people back to the cross, we need to maintain. Help us to do that. Continue to bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray.